Hey, it's Cameo, and welcome. Just like you, I wear many hats, and sometimes I feel overwhelmed by the demands of everyday life. And there was a time when I felt lost, stuck, and unsure of how or where to start the transformation that I needed. And that's why we're here, to share experiences, lessons, tools, and tips for shaking up your life and living for you. I'm glad you're here, so let's get into it.
Hello.
Hi.
You're listening to Greg and Cameo.
And we're just two human beings trying to make it just like everybody else on a regular day. We're parents. We're married.
We've basically experienced a lot of the ups and downs that being married, kids, running a business, and everything in between. So we like to share and we like to help people. And we feel like we're at a spot where we've educated ourselves on some different areas, and we've really, you know, grown in some areas, and we have some weaknesses too, but we would love to be able to help people. And this is a, you know, exciting format for us to be able to do that, because you have the power to download and listen to this wherever you want, whenever you want, and share it as much as you want. If you feel that there's someone else that could benefit from the message or the information. So thanks for listening.
And because I am Cameo and this is what I do, I'd like to add just really quickly to that. I think that was wonderful.
Was it?
It was. I just would like to add, it probably goes without saying, that it's fun to be the ones behind the camera talking, but it isn't really about us. And the only reason that we are doing this and feel like we have any right or path to do so is because we're listening to our friends and our family members who are calling us and actually asking us for our advice in different areas that they know we've maybe been through or have experienced some type of pain or success in. And so if we can add value to our closest friends and family's life who are able and open and comfortable reaching out to us directly, we might be able to add value to someone's life who isn't. And that's the point, is that all that stuff he said, and it's fun and we want to keep it light and fluffy, and it will be, but that's the real reason behind starting this in the first place. So please take what you want and what helps you and what resonates, and leave what you don't, and pass it on, like he said, to someone who might be able to take something from it as well.
Something that is really an awareness thing is, I'm all about, you know, what you can do immediately to start seeing results. Just today, take an inventory of your thoughts and look at them in two columns, positive or negative, and really kind of keep a tally of, am I habitually optimistic, habitually positive, always looking for the upside, or do I constantly feel like I'm criticizing my spouse, criticizing my kids, seeing the negative side? It's hard for that person to be as happy and fulfilled and optimistic as maybe someone that's consciously trying to always see the positive, always see the upside, always looking for a way to be non-judgmental, to be helpful. It's just, again, nothing revolutionary or groundbreaking, but it's just an awareness, because once, it's amazing, once you're aware of something, you can fix it, you can work on it, you can measure it. Then you can go find a recipe to start that journey of getting to work. That's when the work begins, is an awareness. And I think a lot of people that we talk to, or, you know, in our life experiences, when you're going through your days and you're just doing everything that you think you're supposed to be doing, and this is just what I saw, and this is what, you know, I saw on TV, or this is the way I feel like I'm supposed to be doing it, you kind of get into that groove of life.
Yeah.
And then until there's a traumatic event that forces you to get out of your own ego state of mind of what you've built this idea of how it's supposed to be.
The expectations get removed.
Once all that gets removed through extreme trauma, sadly, it takes extreme trauma.
Most of the time.
You're in that state of mind where you can see things for what they truly are, and you can see people for who they, what they truly are, and what, you know, everyone's motivations, and you're just like, holy cow. It's just a very eye-opening time. And being able to see then at that point, you know, I created that through my negative self-talk. Or on the flip side, I created this beautiful space and enjoyment. You know, for me personally, moving to Florida, I stopped drinking. And it opened up space. I'm not, nothing's wrong with drinking. So, you know, everyone can do whatever they want to do. But for me, what I noticed about it after a couple months of not drinking was it created this space in my life where I was able to fill it back up with the things I did when I was a, you know, young kid that I really enjoyed doing, which was playing drums. So it gave me that time that I never had before because I was just doing
what you thought you were supposed to be doing.
What I thought I was supposed to be doing. I'm following the protocol. And I never had time. Monday morning would show back up and I'd be like, I didn't do anything all weekend.
Just really quick, a few things about that. One, taking inventory, as you were mentioning, it's really easy to see that positive or negative mindset or habitual swing in other people. But when you are aware and you start taking it of yourself, it opens up a whole new viewpoint that maybe you didn't know existed in yourself. You can see all the good things and all the bad things in everyone else so quickly and so easily. And it goes back to that judgment thing. But when it comes to you, obviously your viewpoint is skewed. So the work begins when you can be raw and honest with yourself about like, okay, this came into my world and I immediately went negative and judgmental and hateful with it. Why?
Yep.
And then you can dig deeper and figure that out.
Yep.
And not drinking for you played into that because it provided clarity and the ability and the space for you to be able to do that.
Yep.
Number two, back to the trauma part, it doesn't have to take trauma. I mean, for us, it took trauma to strip us down. And in some of our friends' cases and people that have reached out, there's trauma happening that sparks that change. But it doesn't if you start now and start taking inventory and start making these small, slight shifts and changes in your mentality and your mindset day to day. It doesn't have to get to the point of trauma. It doesn't have to go that far. And I don't remember what number three was because it was a long time ago. But there was a number three, and if I think of it,
well,
I'm bringing it.
Through pain equals growth. So we go and we work out our muscles, we you know, shred that and it hurts, but you know that it's going to grow. And, you know, through the pain of saying, you know, where are my weaknesses? What are my downsides? You know, like I told you today, like you're awesome. You get very hyped about stuff and you get good enthusiasm, good energy. And that's awesome. That's what I love about you. But your blind spot, your weakness is that you are very vulnerable when you get in that elevated state for whatever reason. And one thing or one little disagreement can take you completely out of it. And then you're down to a real where you say, I'm just here, you know? Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's so painful to see that because I know how hard you work to get to that state of, you know, just where the magic's happening, where the big ideas and the big goals and the, you know, the big energy, which I love, I feed off that. We're just, you know, growing in that area. I hate to see that just to get stripped away from you from an interaction with someone that, you know, they're just telling
you
how they feel.
Day or,
yeah. And it's just like, ah, so being able to be that open with you, like this morning, be like, hey, where in the past that could have caused a blowout argument to be like, I don't have weaknesses, you know, or what are you calling out my weakness? It's out of love and respect. And I just want to see you have that sustained happiness as your baseline. And that would help you stay there.
And that's a learned behavior because he's right. That could have blown up or would have blown up in the past where that awareness, that confidence in knowing that in this second I get to choose whether that's going to piss me off.
Absolutely.
Or if I'm going to take it from where his intentionality is, and that's from a loving space of I just want you to
be happy.
Be happy.
Yep.
And you said vulnerability, and that's 100% what it is. So like for me in that elevated state, I'm back in my childhood, like anything is possible, big ideas, I don't care if it sounds stupid, let's do it, we're going, just this spontaneous, excitable,
which is what I love about you.
Balls to the wall cameo. Like,
balls to the wall cameo. That's literally what I do every time the light turns green at a big intersection.
And depending... He's not lying. And depending on the mood of the car at the time determines whether or not it's funny or if it just pisses everyone off.
You're such a child.
God, shut up. You're so loud. But yes, so knowing that when I'm in this vulnerable, excited, let's do this mode, that someone could come along and knock me right off of my horse puts me in the driver's seat and being in control of, like, okay, if and when that does happen, because it's bound to happen, because not everyone's maybe where I am right now in this moment, and that's okay, I get to choose how hard that impacts me. Today, I did not bite your head off. I just didn't say anything, and I chose to digest what you were saying.
Okay.
And understand where it was coming from.
Okay.
And you are 100% spot on. It wasn't Faith's fault yesterday that I got knocked off my horse. It was my fault, and that's extreme ownership, because I took something that she said and internalized it, and in my vulnerable state, let it just knock me out.
Wow. Amazing.
It's not her fault. And in the past, and probably last night, I made her feel like it's her fault for making me feel that way.
Totally.
And it's like, that's damaging to her, and that sucks. So that is just the real stuff that happens that helps you either grow if you're paying attention, or you just stay where you are and and not.
So, okay. So over the past couple weeks, we've been through a lot of stuff. Our cat died.
It wasn't just a cat.
Okay. Our family member, very, very, you know, it was a big deal. So Nyla passes, Faith starts high school. I mean, we've been through some pretty big, you know, life events here. And it's been a lot coming at us, and I've had friends reach out, going through some stuff, and you absorb that energy and you're trying to help people, but it's also kind of taxing as well, because you can't help but not, you know,
absorb
internalize it.
Yeah.
One thing that's I've noticed is you're busy, it all piles up on you. So you don't have a chance to process everything. So it literally stays in your backpack, and the backpack gets heavy. And after weeks of that, carrying that heavy backpack around of stuff, you definitely have to give yourself some space and time to really just process through everything. That way, just like you clean out your closet when it gets just filled with junk or your garage, it feels so good to go through it and be like, keep this, throw that away, put this where I know where it's. Literally the same thing when you're going through emotional stuff. Go through and take an inventory, because some of the things that might be nagging at you aren't anything that you can control or do anything about. So those need to be discarded or stowed away, and not in the forefront, not in the forefront of your
That's really important.
Of constant thinking. I noticed for me yesterday, I did give myself some space to go through and kind of do an inventory and ask myself, why do I feel this way about that? And why is this so important to me? And it was so healthy to just chill and give myself that space and time to process through. And then what happens is, once you clean the slate, once you get a good baseline of like, all right, now I'm back to my extreme levels of happiness, my default setting where I want to live is just where I'm happy and optimistic and always looking for the good. So once you get to that spot, and then you go to work and something happens at work and it brings you down. So when you come home to your family at night, before you walk in the door, take an extra 5 seconds and say, I'm clearing that out of my cache.
Take the backpack off.
Take it off. Deal with it. Don't go into your next moment of the day carrying that baggage, because it's going to take away that moment, the current moment that you have, and which is all that we have. So that has been a powerful tool as well, to be able to go into each day, each moment, with a clear, clean, open energy of, I'm not carrying over what's happened over the past 2 weeks into today. It's done. It's put away. It's just like my clothes neatly put away, my garage is organized, my emotional things are where they need to be so I can embrace the day and take up every single moment that I can observe and be part of and not be distracted dad or distracted husband or distracted coworker, but actually be there where I need to be, giving it my full attention. And that's where the magic really happens in life.
You know? Might I add the word permission? To give yourself permission to set the backpack down and take the inventory and get rid of the things that don't need to be there so that you can go into your next moment. Because I don't think we give ourselves a break enough to be able to do that and feel confident in doing it and know that it is okay to do it. I think it feels like, well, I got to keep all this up here. I'm going to miss something. If I set the backpack down, then I'm going to forget or I'm not going to deal with that. And it's like, well, actually, you will, because it will be a lot easier for you to organize and clear out the junk so that you can focus on the things that need the attention.
And I don't want to sound like an old person, but with going from analog to digital, you know, the evolution, you know, of human beings, we've always had a lot of downtime. It used to take hours to go 10 miles. You know, it used to take, you'd be out in the field all day long.
Are you in a horse and buggy or what?
Yeah. I mean, like, that's a small piece of the, of our human, our psyche. We've always had time to sit and think. Like, if you read, like, letters that were written 200 years ago, it's like the penmanship and the words they use, you're like, what? Compared to, like, you know.
We don't have time to type out what the.
WTF. Yeah. And I don't want to sound like I'm anti-technology. That's not what I'm saying. But we have to be really aware that we do need, as human beings, I think we need to have space in our lives, downtime. I notice about myself and, you know, everyone that I see, you know, you go from a meeting or you're on the phone and you're like multitasking social media. Or you don't want to miss the fear of missing out. You know what I mean? Like, we're all guilty of that. We're all like, we don't just drive or we don't just have a conversation with someone for an hour. We don't just do one thing. We're always like doing that one thing plus something on the side. And that just causes strain on your emotional self. You know, you're kind of like, you never feel fully
into what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and that's a new thing for us humans to be, have that technology of a little device that our whole life is on, you know?
I think that makes you sound old somewhat. And yes. Here's why. Because I think technology gets demonized and I don't think it's fair. When I was a kid, I sat in front of the TV for hours and played video games and my parents would be like, all she wants to do is play video games and watch Saved by the Bell. And well, now we say all he wants to do is play Fortnite and be on his iPad and can't go to dinner without having a device in front of him. And it's like, these kids are just on a different speed and have different access than we did, and that doesn't make it wrong. So I don't know that it's okay to say that it's distracted and you never get to slow down and you never get to just do what you're doing. Our kids know so much just based on the information that they're able to get from those devices, so I don't think it's fair to blame technology. But I totally get and agree with what you're saying about, like, be where your feet are. One of the things that's been really helpful for us over the last few years is just learning to pay attention to where you are. So, like, it's such a dumbed down notion, but, like, doing the dishes. This is what it feels like to do the dishes. I'm doing the dishes right now. I get to do these dishes, that I get to have a family who dirtied them. Just a complete mindset shift of gratitude, and I get to, and this is what it feels like, and the recognition of that, I think, is what you mean by space and permission and being present in that moment versus the attack on technology being the distractor.
Yeah? 100% yes.
Because otherwise you sound just like an old man. Like, well, back in my day, we did crossword puzzles and we talked at the dinner table. Well, it was 60 years ago. So let's adapt. We're humans. We are evolutionary here.
It's more of like just being aware that you need to have downtime. You need to be able to cleanse the cash and clear the cash and be
clear
able to
clear the cookies.
That way, when you have that next moment, you can be there for it.
Yeah.
As much as possible. You said something that was really good, the get to.
Well, all of it.
The get, yeah. That little phrase, switching I have to, or I need to, or we've got to I get to, we get to. And you can do that
with everything.
With everything. And it really does change the way you feel when you are doing whatever the said thing is you're doing.
Yeah.
Like driving to get your kids from school, you get to do that.
Not everyone gets to.
Yeah.
Some people don't have the opportunity to do that because they're at work or they are out in a different state for family reasons or whatever the case may be.
Or I get to wake up at 5 a.m. on Monday morning and go get on the treadmill. Ugh. I get to.
Maybe that's like where.
But at the moment, you're like, ugh. But if you think to yourself, I get to do this because maybe someone can't even get out of bed.
Well, and like running a marathon, that was something that when we'd get deep in the miles, I would try to shift my mindset to like, I get to do this because I know someone who wants to run a marathon and physically, because of disease and cancer and cannot do it. And so I get to choose, back to getting to choose in that moment on mile 18 when it hurts and I want to quit, that I get to continue because someone that doesn't have that option might just absolutely love being in the spot I'm in, feeling the pain of what it feels like to run 18 miles, right? It's not easy. None of this is easy. It's all hard and difficult and takes a lot of focus and practice and forgiveness and permission and constant reminders. But you have to accept that and start somewhere.
Heyo! Congratulations on investing into yourself and your growth. I hope you found this episode to be beneficial and feel proud of yourself for showing up. If you found this episode helpful, please consider sharing with someone else who may benefit from it too. I'd love to hear from you, so hit me up on all socials at Cameo Elise Braun. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow for new episodes and updates. Also, it's super important to mention, this is intended for entertainment and education through experience. None of it is fully known to be fact and is not a replacement for professional advice from a therapist or doctor. Thank you so much for being here with me. And be sure to thank yourself for showing up.